music and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Play Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date with all of our social media at linktree.com/cjsfradio, and you can learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca.
Welcome, everybody, to this episode of Intravenous every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Today, I am here, and my name is Stella. I'm the programming assistant at the station.
And I'm Rebecca. I'm the public affairs intern.
Yeah, so Robin is not here today, so we're taking over a little bit, as we have been the past couple of weeks. And today we have a very interesting topic coming up after a few songs. We're going to be talking about the gender bias in the medical industry with contraception, like specifically like the birth control pill and IUDs and things like that. So, yeah. The first song that we're going to be listening to is 5 Minutes Pile by Rose, and they're this duo from Montreal, and every song from this album is pretty good, so go take a listen.
À chaque fois que je me perds et pense à toi, j'ai passé tout l'hiver dans tes deux bras. T'es parti en même temps que le froid.
Silence, c'est vrai que tu me manques, pareil.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM. You're tuning into Intravenous. My name is Stella.
I'm Rebecca.
And yeah, today we're going to be talking about the gender bias in regards to contraception and also just kind of the medical industry in general. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to quickly say that that song just before was called Nothing to Lose by Tin Liquor and featuring Circa Waves, like a British rock band from Liverpool. But yeah, getting right into it, I mean, I want to sort of give a bit of context to kind of the era in which the pill was first introduced in the 1960s, because I think it's quite important to see how the pill, when it was introduced, how it was like how the response was to it, as well as what was going around in the world at the time. So it was invented in the 1960s, and that was during what was called at the time sort of the women's liberation movement, as well as it's now become more to be known as second wave feminism, and we're currently in sort of, I think we were transitioning between fourth wave to fifth wave feminism now. And it was sort of a time where feminism as a movement had just, you'd had the suffragettes first, and it's now focusing more on female liberation in regards to sort of work and employment as the main thing. It was set sort of post-war time. So you're seeing a lot of women trying to separate themselves more away from being an object and property of men, especially considering during the war you had women taking over a lot of male jobs while they were away at war. So they showed that they were capable, but after the war had finished, the men came back and sort of were just like, okay, well, now go back in the house. Like, we don't need you anymore. Go back. And it was a time of women saying, no, I want my financial independence and I want to be my own person. And it was seen through a lot of significant events around that time. So you had, obviously you had the invention of the contraceptive pill. You had the first woman in space in 1963. You had more women entering the workforce with like the Equal Pay Acts. I think it was Equal Pay Act in 1963 for the US, and for the UK, I believe it was in 1970, so it was slightly later. And that was to use, like, sort of tackle the gender discrimination and inequality that was seen quite tremendously in the workplace. So even though men sort of allowed women into the workplace, the treatment of the women in the workplace was horrific in regards to sort of like, well, you're going to push so hard to get in, we're going to get in, but we're going to make it as horrible of an environment as possible for you. So you were seeing like awful gender pay like disparities. You were seeing like the treatment of women was awful, especially like mothers were seen as like particularly bad. And that's still, it's improved, but you're still seeing it today. Like, I was looking at a statistic in the UK and the gender pay gap is still at 7.7%.
Yeah.
And you're thinking this is 50 years on, give or take, from equal pay legislation first entering government, and you're still got a gender pay disparity. Like,
yeah, people love to say that things have changed and improved so much, but when we really investigate it, we're still seeing the exact same patterns, but to a slightly lesser degree, maybe. It's just so frustrating when people are like, ugh, you know, gender inequality doesn't exist anymore because, you know, it's written into our legislation or something. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And it's like,
it's not very nuanced.
Yeah, it's all well and good that there's legislation, but it's more the enforcement of that legislation isn't there.
Yeah.
So I think it's like, oh, well, we got it in legislation, so you know we're tackling it. But it's like, but you're not enforcing that legislation, because if you were enforcing the legislation, you wouldn't have a 7.7% gender pay disparity.
Yeah.
As well as, like, I was reading that there was 54,000 mothers a year in the UK
are losing their jobs because of like pregnancy and maternity discrimination, and like working moms experience negative treatment in the UK has doubled in the past year. So you're still seeing that.
Doubled.
Yeah, it's like you're still seeing this, like you're allowed in the workforce, so we're tackling gender inequality, but you're still seeing this horrible environment and treatment to women in the workforce anyway, because it's not what fits with the patriarchal society and the infrastructure. And like the way when the birth control pill was introduced, it was framed as this is female liberation. You are getting control of your fertility and your sexuality. You can like postpone having a family so you can have a career and an employment and education. But it's kind of like, is it really that? Because you look at everything that comes along with the pill, like the whole booklet of side effects, for one.
But before we get into like the current day pill, I wanted to talk just not quickly. This might be a bit more in depth, like, but I wanted to talk about like the history behind the pill, because like Rebecca said, it's framed as this female liberation, but it came from very, very much female exploitation. So the trials like began, I think, in the 50s with tests on rats and rabbits, so very classic like animal testing. But something about like animal testing is that a lot of medical researchers don't conduct studies on female mice because they're like more expensive to like purchase in a house, I guess. So they're like, oh, the hormones and all these things with female mice might impede our ability to figure out exactly what's going on. So that's just a side note, is that like, I'm not sure if it was for the birth control pill or not. It probably was, but it's very doubtful that they were actually testing on female mice in the first place. So after that was approved, the actual one of the men, this like the main scientist behind this birth control push, expressed like in a letter, he said that he wanted a cage of ovulating females to experiment with.
Oh my God.
So that's already kind of like, oh, all right. Like, that's not a good sign at all.
Just the word cage.
Yeah. And I think like, he was a professor at Harvard as well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So he had this like arrangement with this mental hospital to actually like test on their patients. So he had like 16 female patients at this state hospital, gave them like these birth control prototypes, and then would actually like slice into their uteruses to like understand the drug's effect on ovulation. So
oh my God, that's the word cage as well, with this like connotations of like inhumane like animals, and then to use like people in like a mental hospital, like
it's insane.
Where they're obviously not going to be in a good frame of mind to even advocate for themselves.
Yeah, they can't even consent to that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so then, like, there's obviously, like, side effects were showing up, and actually one of the other researchers told the New York Times later, he said, these side effects are largely psychogenic. Most of them happen because women expect them. And honestly, we see this kind of similar narrative happen today to like, oh, you know, her pain's not that bad. We're just going to minimize that. It's like kind of in her head, or like, we're just, you know, you have chronic pain, we're going to give you an Advil or something like that. Like, it's not taken seriously.
It's like you see it all the time with young girls when they have really bad period cramps, and the doctor's like, oh, just take like some like over-the-counter medication, you'll be fine, it's not that bad. And then you see like the like almost the missing of the like, I don't know how to like phrase this, but like the missing diagnosis of like endometriosis, for example, because it's like, oh, it's just a period cramp, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's just oh, I don't experience that, so you must be making it up, kind of thing. So yeah, that's like, it's already really awful. So he's, they've been testing on these mental hospital patients, and then they're like, okay, we need to like extend our reach, do more like clinical trials. So yeah, like they chose Puerto Rico as, because it was a U.S. territory, and they're like, okay, we can test on these women, and it's very test on these women because they're like an extension of the U.S.'s territory, basically. Like their bodies are just like property to test on, which is really like, messed up already. Like it just gets worse, honestly. And they at first gathered a bunch of female medical students, I think around 20 of them, but more than half of the participants dropped out because of the side effects, which made the researchers really angry. And I mean, like, the methods that they used were like, the common side effects were blood clots, bleeding, nausea, and then every day the woman had to take their temperature and a vaginal smear, and then every month their cervixes were dilated and tissues from their uteruses were collected. And some women had like underwent laparotomies, which is just like a large incision to expose your ovaries, basically, so that the researchers could like observe them in real time. So it's like, it kind of makes sense why people would not want to do this. So they kind of like changed gears and targeted this poor Puerto Rican neighborhood. So it was like a neighborhood called San Juan, where there's this housing development that had been built for neighboring farm laborers. And basically there was poverty there and not a lot of mobility either. So it was like, okay, this is great. Like, this is perfect for us to be testing on these people because, again, like, racism and colonialism is always present in these kinds of things.
Especially, like, at that time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more rampant than, like, ever.
Yep. And so, yeah, I have, like, quotes from these researchers all over the place just because I was, like, shocked at them. So one of the researchers said to the others in this memo, they recruited 265 women who were sufficiently intelligent women for whom pregnancy would be acceptable or at worst inconvenient.
Oh my goodness.
At worst, pregnancy is just an inconvenience.
Oh my goodness.
So it just shows the level of ignorance and carelessness and just no respect at all there for women. And 22% of the women in that study dropped out due to the side effects. And then they kept doing these trials, Puerto Rico, Haiti, and Mexico, and then eventually appealed to the FDA, and the FDA approved it. And what's really ironic and terrible is that the women in Puerto Rico that were being tested for this drug, they were left high and dry. They did not get any compensation or the drug that they had helped create. And the drug in Puerto Rico was so expensive that practically nobody could afford it. So
it's just like, let's test on you, but then you're not going to get the result of it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, we are completely entitled to test on you because you are our property, basically. And that's that. And you don't deserve anything. Like, you're just some tool for us to use in our grand scheme of creating this amazing invention, birth control. And yeah, I'm not saying like birth control, it definitely helps people, but just the history behind it is you can see the intentions going into the testing and like who, like, these men who are saying these things that are so terrible about women are the ones who are, like, putting this drug out there for women. So it's like, you know, women aren't in their best interest, especially, like, poor women, women of color. Like, none of these people they're actually thinking about. Like Rebecca said, it's like they're seeing them like animals, basically, in cages.
Yeah, and, like, for the pill to be released at a time where it's viewed as a liberation and like an emancipation of women, but that is how the pill like was invented, is it's the complete opposite of what it was like symbolic for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's shocking to me that, like, birth control and contraception for women in general is seen as a way for, like, women to have control over their bodies. But it kind of makes you wonder, but, like, how far does that control go?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, I mean, you look at, in the US, like, the Roe v. Wade, like, overturning.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that you can, it's almost like, we can give you this control by, like, creating something, but they can very easily, like, just, we'll take it away when we want to as well.
Yeah. It's kind of, like, dangling in front of you, like, hey.
And when you look at how, like, the forms of contraception for women either have so many side effects to them or are just so invasive and painful that it's like, it's almost like you have to have, like, this pain and stuff. It's like a consequence for you wanting to be, like, separated from men.
Yeah.
It's like almost like, okay, you can be separated, but you're gonna have to go through so much pain for that.
Yeah.
And we're gonna mess up your life. Type of thing.
Like, it's so frustrating because it is framed as a sense of control, but you don't really have control if the government can, like, give it to you and then take it away and then give it to you and take it away. Like, that's not control. That's the government controlling you. You don't
that's
have, like,
that's
personal.
Manipulation.
Yeah.
And, exactly. Like, for people that can't afford it either, like, that just means, like, you're too poor to have control of your body.
Yeah.
Like, realistically, that's what it's saying. It's so crazy.
And just, yeah, like, one more thing about control for right now is that, yeah, women might seem to have control over their bodies, but they have pretty much, like, no control over the side effects and how that affects them. So it's also like, okay, you know, those side effects can be pretty, pretty bad sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's the fact that, like, the side effects are different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people will experience none of it, and then there's other people that will experience, like, every single side effect, like, on the, like, booklet, even, like, the amount of times they change the type of pill that they're on.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It is brutal.
Mm. And also, like, I know at the time that obviously those clinical trials were happening, you don't have a lot of women in STEM, but the fact that it's no women researching the pill for women's, like, reproductive health.
Yeah.
It's only men.
Yeah.
As well, like, that's such a big thing, I think, to be like, here's this sort of invention that's going to help you, like, enter the workforce and be independent. But there's no female say in the research. There's no female say in, like, the drug being delivered. It's all men. And the testing on those women is, like, the only insight women have into it. And it's in this most inhumane conditions going. Like, if that doesn't, like, say it all.
Yeah, right? Even like just the history, it's like, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
It's not even history, like, it continues till today, the effects of it. But, yeah, like, women don't really get that much of a say in their health. Like, in their health, like, in regards to how it's treated in the medical system. Like, even 10 years after the birth control's release, there was, like, an investigation into the pill's safety, and, like, all these men were testifying on it, and no woman were even being invited to have a seat at the table and talk about it. And this was, like, yeah, a Capitol Hill investigation. So it's like, what? Like, it's just, it's insane to me that men are making these decisions, like, for women without listening to what women have to say. I mean, it's not shocking, but it's just like,
it's like, also you see it not just in reproductive health, but just in the medical field in general. A lot of the things that are sort of, I guess, you're measured against is based off of male averages. Like, you look at the BMI index is based off of the male body. So there's not, like, a separate one for female bodies. It's based on the male body. And I think I remember learning somewhere at school that it was they tested, I think it was, like, the safety of seatbelts or something in cars, and the dummies that they used are all based on male dimensions. It's not based on female dimensions at all.
Yeah, totally.
So you see it in like subtle ways as well. Just in other areas, like it is not just the reproductive health of like women.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's almost like this underhanded, like backhanded patriarchal type of control that when it is coming to regard of our health and our safety, women are not considered nearly equally to men.
No.
Like if you, like safety measures are being tested on male body like averages. The BMI for like showing if you're healthy or not based on male averages. Like it's crazy that there's no female input in it at all, because we're not the same. For one, like